الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا بال أحدكم فلينتر ذكره ثلاث مرات، رواه ابن ماجه، صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين. ذر شك الله. We have been on the subject of understanding how the shaitan plots, and we are trying to understand the nature of shaitan in the light of the beautiful words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is very, very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says that إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ. Verily shaitan is your enemy. فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. So treat him as your enemy. So we have to understand the nature of shaitan so we can treat him as our enemy. As explained to the brothers last week, that there are some sins that every shaitan craves for or dies for, and it's considered to be a highly ranked sin in the shaitanic kingdom, and every shaitan tries his best to go for that sin, and that is to instigate a fight in between two people, husband and wife. And he is so powerful, so powerful. I was just reading in the kitab that what he does is that he studies the area, and wherever Muslims are living, he will quickly visit every family, the jinn. He will visit every family and study every single person in the family. And where the shaitan finds out that the husband and wife don't get on well, every little matter there is a fight and argument is there all the time, and the relationship is unstable, that is the time shaitan says that, right, I'm going to take up residence in this house. That's what he does. He is so powerful. You see, we can't see him. And he knows that this couple here are just the right couple, because every little bit they want to argue and fight, and both of the husband and the wife don't want to listen to each other. So the shaitan decides to stay there, and he joins forces with Wasim and Dasim and Al-Walhan and all the shaitans that are in the house. And he is there again waiting, monitoring. Every time the wife says something, the shaitan is there trying to incite anger for the husband. And every time the husband says something, the shaitan is there. He goes back to the wife, inciting anger for the wife. And his mission is just to bring up that picture, what we say, the slip of the tongue, the word talaq. That's it. Once the word talaq is uttered, he leaves that house, takes all his belongings, all his tools, and that's it. Mission complete. And he goes in search for other families. And that's all his job. This is who the shaitan is. So it's very, very important, my respected brothers and elders, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we maintain good ties with all our family members. Just to continue with the same topic subject, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha once asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, being the wife of Sayyidul Awwaleen wal Akhireen, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would the shaitan even try to deceive your wives? Would he come close to the azwaj, to the ummahatul mu'mineen? And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and said, yes Aisha, the shaitan would even try to deceive the wives, he would even try to deceive you. And Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam gave an explanation, and he said that with every individual, with every human being, there is a shaitan appointed for him. A shaitan is designated by the superior one. He is like a shadow walking with him wherever he goes. And again, a question was put forward by Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, does this condition even apply to you or to the prophets, Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam? And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, it even applies to the prophets. But the difference is that Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam are protected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Access is never given to the shaitan, never. And every time the shaitan comes close, because the spirituality level of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, it is so high that the shaitan would have no choice but to accept Iman and Islam. No choice. That is why in the Sahih Muslim, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mafhum of one hadith is that he said that that appointed shaitan came to me. And imagine someone appointed for Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam by the superior jinn, and as he came close to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came and he said, Ya Rasulullah, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Fa aslama, and he became a Muslim. He became the khadim of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam are protected. Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam are protected. That's for sure. Alhamdulillah. And because of the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Umar was even protected. Hazrat Umar Farooq was even protected, because it was the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that wherever Umar walks radiallahu ta'ala, the shaitan does not come close to Hazrat Umar Farooq. And one hadith which is even more explicit, narrated by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, and he says that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that with every individual he is accompanied by two creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every individual, two creations follow him all the time. One is the non-Muslim jinn, the non-Muslim jinn, which we refer to as being a shaitan. One is the non-Muslim jinn, 24 hours with him. And the second makhluk is angel, malaika. Again, 24 hours, one angel is with the ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 24 hours. And the ulama say that there are at least 5 angels protecting the ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 3 of them are with him all the time. 2 are known as the kiraman katibin. The kiraman katibin. We feel that the kiraman katibin are sitting on the right hand shoulder and on the left hand shoulder, but I think that's just a myth. Kiraman katibin are there for sure, but not on the shoulders. Kiraman katibin are there, but not on the shoulders. One is on the right hand side and one is on the left hand side. And the duty of the first two Kiraman Katibin starts from Fajr till Asr. And then the second shift of the second lot of Kiraman Katibin that come, and they are there protecting that individual from Asr till Fajr Salat. And one angel who is known as the Hafaza, he is the Muhafiz, he is there 24 hours till his death. 24 hours he is there. Mufti Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi says that if that one angel was not there, and because the tafsir is in Urdu, the words of Mufti Shafi are that wo jin insano ko kacche kha jate hai, wo jin us insano ko kacche kha jate hai. But because the jinn can see the angel is there walking with that individual all the time, and we can't see the angel and we can't see the jinn. But the jinn can see the angel and the angel can see the jinn. And the angel is there protecting us. And a beautiful explanation Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given to us. He says that every time that jinn sees that the heart is vacant from the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all he does is touches the body of that individual. Just taps him very, very lightly. And just by that one little touch, it is said that in the heart, the desire of guna, the desire of sins are born. Because that one shaitan touches him when the heart is wakened. That is why it's very, very important that one should be pure, clean, and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with him all the time. And likewise, every time the angel touches him, the desire of tawbah is born into the heart. The desire of good actions is born into the heart. That is why there is this constant pattern. Sometimes you want to do guna, and then after a bit, there's remorse, and you want to make tawbah, know what I did was wrong. That's the angel touching you. There is this constant fight between the two. And it all depends on the heart, how strong your heart is. If you give your heart to the shaitan controls you. And if your heart is replete with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the angels are there, supporting you and helping you all the time. Subhanallah al-Azim. This is what Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi says, that in my entire life, if Allah says to me that, what did you bring to me? Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi says that, in my entire life, I have never ever done ghibat of anyone. I have never backbited for a Muslim or a non-Muslim. These were great people, pious people, constantly in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the angels were there protecting people like Imam al-Bukhari and other great scholars, Allah wa'ala. So we have five angels all the time with an individual, and the fundamental difference between the humans and jinns, one is that the jinns are very, very powerful. The jinns are very, very powerful. You may use the word darpok like some people do, but when you have your own experience, that is the time we'll see who is darpok. Subhanallah, they are so powerful. I mean, just imagine that Allah has appointed an angel to look after that individual. And they fear Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam. The Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam had the full authority of controlling the jinns. And one is that they have that physical power, very, very strong, very, very strong. One slap, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all, is enough. And the other, in fact, namat that is given to the jinns is that they have a very, very long age. Very long age. Brothers, do remember the story of the Sahabi jinn whose name was Hama, who embraced Islam on the hands of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And we have seen all the prophets and even Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a Sahabi. And this was not just one jinn. So many jinns were known as Sahabi jinns. Sahabi jinns. A few years ago, when I went for Hajj, a good friend of mine, who is also an alim, I won't mention his name, he is living in London, and we were there in the terminal building in Jeddah, and he's a good friend, he's an alim, and he was saying to me that I met someone in Medina Munawwara who's a scholar, and that scholar has met a Sahabi jinn, and that jinn has been there. He would be there making atiqaf in Masjid-e-Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all the time. And he is there sitting in the first of all the time. That is why, if you go to Medina Munawwara, you might be shocked, and I am especially amazed when you see some faces. Some faces. And I have personally seen some faces, when you look at them, you just want to look down again. And their places are reserved in the front saf. Every namaz they are there. Fajr, front saf. Zuhr, front saf. Asr, front saf. They are there in atikaf, in the presence of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said to me that when I met him, I even wanted to meet that Sahabi jinn who was in the form of a human being. But when I went with that alim, I didn't see him. But he has his own position, and that is where he is sitting all the time. So Allah has blessed them. Hazrat Sa'al bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, who is the companion of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that he was visiting the city of Aad, where the community of Aad was staying, and when he was walking on the outskirts of the city, he saw this stone palace, a beautiful palace. A palace that was carved out from the mountain, and half of that palace was built in, and half was outside. Hazrat Sa'al bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, Sahabi Rasul, when he saw that palace, he wanted to go in, and it had no doors to roll open like a cave. And Hazrat Sa'al bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala went inside. And when he went inside, the first thing he did is that he prayed 2 rakat, nafal. And this is the trademark of Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in. That is the trademark. Wherever they go, they pray 2 rakat, nafal salat. Hazrat Sa'al bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala says that, when I made salam, all of a sudden, I saw this gigantic figure in front of me. I have never seen anyone as tall as this banda, this human figure that is in front of me. So tall, so tall. And he says that there was a chilling effect in the body. I was shivering. I didn't know what to do. Instinctively, the first words that came out from my mouth is, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." And that's what you want to do when you see someone like that. Just surrender and say to him, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah." Like the Muslims surrender to the kuffar. They say, "Do what you want. Do what you want. You can do with us whatever you want. We surrender in front of you." They don't want to surrender in front of Muslims. They surrender in front of kuffar. And Hazrat Sa'al bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala and says, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah." And the jinn, it was a jinn, he came close to Hazrat Sa'al bin Abdullah and responded, and he said, "Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." Hazrat Sa'al says that by his voice, a grumpy voice, I recognize that there is a possibility that he is not a human being, he is a jinn, but he was quiet. Hazrat Sa'al says that when he came close to me, I noticed that the jabba he was wearing was absolutely beautiful, remarkable. He's tall and handsome, and on top of that, a beautiful jabba. Hazrat Sa'd bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala and says that I couldn't take my eyes off from that jabba that was on his body. And all of a sudden, when that figure noticed that I was looking at his jabba, he said to me that you are looking at this jabba? I have had this jabba on for 700 years now. How many years? I have never taken this jabba off from my body. I have found no need to take the jabba off from my body. 700 years have passed now. And I'm wearing this one jabba. So beautiful and clean. And Hazrat Sa'd bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala was shocked. 700 years. And the jabba is absolutely new, clean, intact, not ripped from anywhere. And look at the advice, the spiritual advice the jinn is giving to a sahabi. The jinn is giving to a sahabi. Now I say sahabi, I'll just say for that jinn, I'm describing for this minute just as a jinn. But that jinn is giving spiritual advice to the sahabi. And he said to him that you must remember one thing, that clothes don't rip and clothes don't get dirty because of old age. Clothes don't rip and clothes don't get dirty because of old age. Clothes get dirty and clothes rip because of the guna that is made in the heart, because of the sins that are made in the heart, the sins that are born in the heart. Because of the guna, the clothes get dirty. But if you keep yourself pure, your clothes will stay clean all the time. He was in that cave, that was his building, that palace was his house, and he was there 24 hours in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat Sa'd bin Abdullah questioned him as to why he didn't want to put on any other jabba, and for 700 years he's just got this one jabba on. And he said that with this jabba I met Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. And with this same jabba I met Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I have met two great prophets. We were talking about Hama radiallahu ta'ala being a jinn also. And here we are talking about another jinn. So many jinns. And now he is also a Sahabi jinn. Who is he? A Sahabi jinn. A Sahabi jinn talking to a Sahabi. And he says that I met Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I am from those jinns that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. I am one from that group of jinns which Allah has mentioned in the Quran. And he was referring to Surah Jinn, the first ayat, قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it has been revealed to me that a group of jinns came and they were listening to the Quran. فَقَالُوا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا. And when they heard the qiraat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Fajr Salah, they said, what a wonderful recitation it is. Yahdi ila rushdi fa amanna bi. And this was the very first group to accept Islam on the hands of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this jinn that was in that cave is from that group which is mentioned in the Quran. Subhanallah al-Azim. That is why the ulama say that even in the jinns there is a rank. The highest ranking of jinns is that group of jinns which met Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and which is mentioned in the Quran. It is said that they were the first people to go back to give da'wat. To go back and to give da'wat. First group of jinns. And they went to the Christians, they went to the Jews, they went to the mushrikeen, jinns, everyone, saying to them that that prophet who was awaited for is here. quickly go to him and become a Muslim. Quickly go to him and become a Muslim. It is said that Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, one day he met Hazrat Akram radiallahu ta'ala, who is a Sahabi. And Hazrat Umar said to him that, what is your story behind accepting Iman and embracing Islam? And he said that before the ba'asat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he was given Nabuwat, I had a jinn friend. And there are advantages of having a jinn as a friend. There are some advantages. And there are also some disadvantages. Sometimes it can even spoil your Iman. And unfortunately, what happens that, although this is not the topic, but I feel that's very, very important. We have a lot of false peers and bawas and peer sops that come along. And it's all a gimmick, a beautiful gimmick. So what happens is that, for an example, Abdul Qadir is here in front of me. And when he comes to me, I would say to him that, oh, Abdul Qadir, when you woke up today, you lost your car keys, and this happened to you, and that happened to you, and you had an argument with someone on the road. And I was never there with Abdul Qadir. And what would happen is Abdul Qadir would say, oh gee, Maulana Sahib is a great alim. What is it? Allahu Akbar. What is it? Great alim. Oh, subhanallah. He knows everything. Now he must be great, he must be waliullah. I mean, imagine he was not even with me, but he said to me that I lost my keys. And that's it, that's where it all starts. Now Abdul Qadir will go and tell his clan, and slowly, slowly, it's like the 9 o'clock news. And some people have that nature. Disclose anything to them and that's it, the whole world knows about it. But in reality what happens is I know I have a jinn with me. And the minute I see Abdul Qadir, I am also communicating with my own personal jinn. So the jinns that are with Abdul Qadir in his house, because every home has a jinn, they will quickly get information from other jinns, and the information that is given, that the information that is taken from the jinns that occupy Abdul Qadir's house, is taken by my own personal bodyguard, jinns. And so when the jinns come here, I would say, the information they give me, I will quote exactly the right event that happened to him, and that's it. And he would think that Maulana Sahib is a great Buzru. Maulana Sahib is a... And that's it, that is what is happening. And we have murids upon murids, murids upon murids, murids upon murids. And when you say to them that, no, don't do this, astaghfirullah, wahhabi, Allah, don't believe in Allah, Allah, you see? La ilaha illallah Muhammadur, straight away Tawhid. Straight away. Who says that we don't believe in Allah Allah? We believe in awliyaullah, but to a limit. But to a limit. Allah has given you the intellect. Allah has given you the intellect. You know that Abu Bakr Siddiq didn't do things that what some of the so-called awliyaullah and buzrugani deen do today. It's all a gimmick. They are. We have genuine buzrugani deen. There is no doubt. But it's all again a money-making scheme. A money-making scheme. Whatever information I want, I can have it. It's like there was this half a Maulana, 50% Maulana. What was it? A 50% Maulana. I don't know if you understand that. He's a 50% Maulana, not 100%. Not 100%. Very few are 100%. A lot, we have so many ulama, they are 30%, 20%. Not the real alim, but 30%, 20% they are Maulana. But this Maulana that I'm talking about is a 50% Maulana. So every time he wants to find out a masla, and when he talks, Allahu Akbar, we feel that he must be some incredible alim. All he does is that he goes home and he's got the internet and taps in any information that he wants, And then he is asking other ulama in Pakistan and Saudi Arabia. And he poses a question to them, an answer is given to him, and he says, yes, in Pakistan, this mufti says that, this mufti says that, this mufti says that, and you wonder, subhanallah, you know, the encyclopedia of knowledge that is jam-packed into this individual. But it is nothing. It is the magic of internet. It is the magic of internet. Subhanallah. That is Allah, that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Iqra, the first revelation is what? Iqra, not unzur, not to look. Iqra means to read. The sincere knowledge that you acquire by reading, subhanallah, that power is not there in anything else. So Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala and questioned this sahabi that how he became a Muslim, and he said that I had a jinn friend, and one day when I was sleeping, my friend jinn came to me and he woke me up and he said, Aqrab, soya kyun hai, wake up in Arabic. And I said to him, what do you want? A jinn? What do you want? And he said that today, alhamdulillah, I have become a Muslim. The jinn is saying to him, I have become a Muslim. I heard the qiraat of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Fajr Salat. And that Prophet who even the jinns were waiting for, alhamdulillah, he is here. He is Muhammad the son of Abdullah. He is not Muhammad bin Abdullah. He is Muhammad Rasulullah. And he was also the very first one from that group of jinns that is mentioned in the Quran. And he gave dawat to his friend, Hazrat Sawar, and he said to him, no, wake up now. Wake up now and go and meet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is said that that Sahabi Rasul Hazrat Aqrab woke up in the night and he went to meet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I hope he took shahadat on the hands of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand what has been said and also to make amal on what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakallah. Dua karle. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم يا الله ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما يا الله ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما يا الله ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما يا الله تو رحمان ہے رحیم ہے کریم ہے يا الله تو کریم ہے يا الله گناہوں کو بخشنے والا ہے يا الله ہمیں معاف کر دے ہماری بخشش کر دے یا اللہ جنت کا تو مستحق بنا دے یا اللہ جنت کا تو مستحق بنا دے یا اللہ جتنے بھی گناہ کیے ہیں یا اللہ ہمارے سیئات کو حسنات سے تو تبدیل فرما دے ہمارے سیئات کو یا اللہ تو حسنات سے تبدیل فرما دے یا اللہ یا رحمان یا رحیم یا اللہ جن کو جو پریشانی ہے یا اللہ نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی برکت سے یا اللہ ان کی اس پریشانی کو تو دور فرما اس مجلس میں اس محفل میں جو لوگ پریشان ہیں یا اللہ ان کی پریشانیوں کو تو دور فرما مستورات گھر میں ہے یا اللہ ان کی کوئی پریشانی ہو یا اللہ ان کی پریشانی کو تو دور فرما یا اللہ جس کی جو تمنا ہو یا اللہ اس کی جائز تمنا کو تو پوری فرما سبحان اللہ وبحمدہ سبحان اللہ العظیم وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلی آلہ وصحابہ وازواجہ وذریاتہ واہل بیتہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین